What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Over at Formula One, it's great to hear it being spoken about on the radio, says a text. Don't hear too much about it anywhere, sadly. Love the Drive to Survive series and looking forward to the race this weekend.
Yeah, if you've been listening to the show lately, you'll have noticed that I, Dermot, am a pretty big fan of the Netflix series Formula One, Drive to Survive. It basically lets you behind the scenes of the sport and lets you learn about the teams, the race cars, the drivers, their support crews. And once you kind of get armed with that knowledge, suddenly you're kind of ready to go look at the sport and you seem to, you're like, okay, I get this. It's not a closed shop anymore. Well, among all the very colourful characters that we see in the show, there's one man from Leash stuck right in the middle of the madness. Patrick Harding is a performance coach for Red Bull Formula One racing driver Alex Albon. He's on the line now. How are you, Patrick?
How are you, Dermot? You well?
Good, man. Congratulations on the TV show.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what there is to congratulate, but yeah.
What? You're a cornerstone of it. It wouldn't have happened without you.
Absolutely. You're in the bloody thing. Like, it's this show, like, myself and Cahill, like, the whole entire team here are just obsessed with this bloody show. It's so good. Were you surprised that you were in it, or were you disappointed that there was more of you shot that didn't make the cut?
I wrote some very strongly worded emails to Netflix. No, obviously, we knew that we were going to be in it because, I mean, we were in season two as well, but clearly didn't make an impact. season three, yeah, obviously, with Alex's storyline, we knew there was going to be a significant amount. And actually, a lot of stuff is sent to Red Bull prior to it being released on Netflix just for their approval.
Okay.
So we had a pretty good idea of what was going to be.
Okay, for anyone who doesn't know who Alex is, what the story is, can you give us a kind of a synopsized version for the people?
Well, Alex is Formula One driver. He got promoted to Toro Rosso, which is the junior team for Red Bull, two seasons ago. In his first season after 12 races, he was promoted to the senior team, which is Red Bull proper, to be Max Verstappen's teammate. Finished that season with Red Bull, and then obviously competed last year as the Red Bull number two driver with Max Verstappen.
Yeah, so one of the things about the show is not only do you meet the team leaders, you know, the pit crews, of course the drivers themselves, but you also meet the support structure that they have, and that's where you come in. So you're a performance coach for professional athletes across lots of different disciplines, but you happen to work in the Formula One world as well. I'm fascinated because I wish we did get to see a little bit more of what you actually do, because it's not just physical training, it's the psychological impact of what these guys have to deal with and how they prep themselves. So let's start with the physical side. What are the things that a Formula One driver has to deal with, and how do you help?
So from a physical point of view, it's one of those sports where people kind of think, oh, well, you sit down for it, so how difficult can it actually be? Well, if you take a normal race weekend, you've got five sessions, anything up to 6 hours in the car. So there's a huge component of aerobic fitness that these guys need to do just to be active for that length of time and to recover properly across a three-day race weekend. Periods within those sessions, so especially qualifying and race periods, where they'll be sitting at about 170 plus heart rate for anything up to 15, 20 minutes if they're, you know, first couple of laps from the grid in a race, qualifying, the adrenaline is going. If they're defending a position, if he's trying to overtake or he's trying to move through the field. So there's a big component of anaerobic fitness as well. But also you got these guys who are being put through huge amounts of G-force. Even, you know, in any one lap, you can have anything up to 360, 370 kilos of pressure through the neck. So if you take one sequence in Silverstone, which is Magus and Beckett's, there's actually four corners there, and it's 140 kilos through the neck, just one sequence.
Wow.
And he might do that. They might do 120, 130 laps in a race weekend. So the physical strength and the strength endurance that he needs through his neck just to manage that. But then you take a race like Hungary last year, and the track temperature was 56 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
He's sitting pretty much on the engine. He's got two layers of fire retardant kit on. He's got gloves, he's got balaclava, and he's got his helmet. He's got 1 liter of water because of the weight restrictions in the car. And he says, but a second lap, that water is warm, so he's not going to drink it. So he basically downs that liter of water on the formation lap, and that's it. So there's also the element of being able to withstand the environmental conditions that each of these tracks throw up. You know, Singapore is a brutal race for these guys to race in physically. I think in Singapore two years ago, he lost 4 kilos during the race.
During one race?
Yeah, one race. So, in fluid alone.
The things they're experiencing are possibly as strong as, or if not worse than, say, something like a fighter pilot might experience, you know, at those high G experiences in the air. And also, they're not built like Cian Healy. You know, these guys are whippets because they have to be light enough to, you know, make the car go. So they can't just be, you know, so they have to withstand all that force, but actually in a very light frame, which is hard to do.
Yeah. Absolutely, I'd like to see them try and put Cian Healy in one of these cars. I mean, you'd be greasing up the tub. So, yeah, look, it's a weight restricted sport, so they have to be under 80 kilos in kit getting into the car, or else they start to get penalised. And actually, the lighter they are, the better it is, because they can move that weight around the car. So it's kind of like being a jockey; you get, you know, weight added to the car if you're under, but you can choose where to put that weight. So from a technical point of view, it's a big advantage to be able to move weight around the front of the car.
One of the things that the show showed me was when you see the on-car camera and somebody overtakes somebody in a daring move, and they go, yeah, and you hear the pit crew going, yeah, that's amazing. And then you realize that they then go into some kind of, you know, two-turn hairpin. Whereas like if you score a goal in a match, you're like, yeah, you can run off and celebrate with your teammates. Or this is just like, I did it. Now, Jesus, oh God, and I'm doing 170 kilometers an hour. You know, like there's no time for anything in those cars.
No. No, and the reality is you make one mistake and that could be your race.
Well, sometimes it's more than the race at stake. Without giving too much away, the third season features a very bad, terrifying crash. How do the drivers mentally cope with the fact that they could die every time they sit into that car? Or also after witnessing a crash like that features in it, like a really bad accident.
Yeah.
How do they get back out on the track a little while later and restart a race where that's got to be on their minds?
You know, I would say the safety level of the cars these days in F1 is incredible. And the reality is they're safer in an F1 car than they would be on the M25, because the cars are built for that, for being able to withstand that level of force. So, and then going back to, you know, with Alex, and with any of these drivers, you don't get to where they are in Formula One. You know, they're constantly pushing the limit of these cars. That's how they go quick. So very often, you know, especially in qualifying, they know that they're half a millimeter away sometimes of putting a car in the wall, but they have to be on that edge of the limit to find out how quickly this car can go and to try and push it to its maximum. And they don't get there without having shunts. And, you know, Alex has had a couple of big, big crashes over the last couple of years. But for the drivers, all they really care about is the driver okay? And you know, if you do watch the season, you know, you see how horrific it actually is. But on the radio, Alex was in front of that crash and he just looked back up and he saw a massive ball of flames. And he came straight on the radio and his first question was, is the driver okay? Once the driver has gotten out and walked away, it's kind of that, you know, code between drivers. Is the driver okay? Once you know you're okay, it's just another crash.
Okay, and you just get on with it. You work in Formula One, you've worked in AFL, you've worked canoeing for the Olympics, you've worked, as you said, with Arsenal in the Premier League. How do
and GAA, Portlaoise GAA, let's not forget.
Sorry, of course.
Well, wait, I'm going to have to, I've been getting so much abuse over the last week because of that article. I have no idea how Portlaoise GAA came into. I'm a Rock GAA man.
Right.
Absolutely fleeced from people in the club. My brother's ringing me. He's a massive club man. And he's like, a friend of ours, Donald Mooney. He's like, Donald Mooney's not happy with you. And I was like, why? He's like, the Portlaoise GAA. What about the Rock? And I was like, okay, lads. So I would like to put it on record.
Go for it. Correct it now.
I was not involved with Portlaoise GAA. I'm a rock man.
Okay.
Thank you.
Excellent.
That's the bounty off my head.
There you go. There must be a lot of pinch yourself moments in your job and in your career so far. Tell us about the barbecue with Christian Horner, the head of the Red Bull Racing team.
Yeah. So every year at Silverstone, Christian has a barbecue at his house. He lives about half an hour from Silverstone. As you can imagine, it's not a two-bed semi. And it's a beautiful house. And so we've had food, and they've got these two guys in the corner who are just playing acoustic and singing some songs. And actually, in a very Irish way, he just turned around at the end of the meal and he said, okay, who's singing first? And we had the Honda guys there, the Japanese Honda guys, and one of the engineers, Yosuke, straight up, obviously karaoke is huge in Japan. So he was like, Christian had barely finished a sentence and Yosuke was behind the mic. about a minute later, I've just got this moment where it's like, you've got this Japanese guy singing Don't Look Back in Anger in obviously the thickest Japanese accent, and he's going for it. He's got that Liam Gallagher hands behind the back and he's singing up into the microphone, and you've got Jerry Halliwell and Mel B up in front of him, you know, playing the fangirl, joining in with the chorus.
Well, you're gonna have to explain why there were Spice Girls in the room with you.
Sorry, that's probably a key element to the story. Christian's actually married to Jerry Halliwell.
Okay, so
there's a good reason for her being there, and obviously she has a friendship with Mel B, so she was there as well. But yeah, it's not just two random Spice Girls for partner.
So they became the backing singers for the Japanese Honda engineer.
Yeah, singing "Don't Look Back in Anger" on a Saturday evening in Silverstone, just after finishing a burger. Wondering what the hell I'm doing with my life.
Well, what did you sing when it was your turn?
We joined in with a couple. I think Journey, Don't Stop Believing. I think that got a little bit of a
rendition. That was a good one. Yeah. And did you get to talk to Jerry Halliwell or Mel B?
Yeah, we've been there a few times, so we've met her a few times. She's a lovely person, Jerry, actually. Really, really lovely person. Really down to earth.
Well, actually, one of my favourite scenes in the series, Formula One Drive to Survive, is when Christian is in his beautiful country home with Jerry Halliwell, and they're obviously going somewhere and they're just kind of saying goodbye to the babysitter, but instead of nipping out into the taxi or the hackney cab outside, a helicopter lands in their front garden and they hop into the helicopter and like kiss the baby, jump into the chopper, and they're actually on the way to a Spice Girls gig, and Jerry Halliwell is practicing her dance moves in the helicopter with her husband. It was just so wonderfully normal, even though it was everything, but.
Look, you know, The Rock is a very small village in the middle of Leash. You know, I don't have a lot of exposure to stuff like this growing up. So, but there is definitely moments in F1 where you just go, this can't be reality. Like, it's bizarre. And stuff like that happens all of the time. You know, like private jets are just like I said, they're like the Dublin bus. Yeah. You know, these guys jump on a private jet like it's jumping in an Uber. So, yeah, you do have moments where you just have to check yourself and bring yourself back to reality.
Well, look, fascinating chatting with you. I wish we could talk to you all day, Patrick, but keep up the great work. You're doing Ireland proud. I hope they give you more coverage in season 4 when that happens.
Well, if you guys could start a campaign, maybe I could get my own show. Look, like a spin-off, like Better Call Saul. Yeah.
The important thing is to wear the Rock shirt and not the Port Leash shirt. That's the important thing. Get that into the season. That'll just cement all the issues out of the way for you.
Well, like I said, at least today we've been able to clear up some discretions in
recent
past.
Yeah, you know they won't forgive you anyway.
No,
it doesn't matter where you go or who you work with. That stuff still is the priority, you know.
Yeah, and when you go home to Leash and you head out for a pint, you know the lads be gone. Saw him on Netflix. Thinks he's great now.
Yeah, see this big lad with his wallet and his shoes coming in here buying a pint.
A dairy of shoes.
How dare he wear trousers? Bet you he bought those trousers in London, didn't he?
Yeah. Patrick Harding, Formula One performance coach. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Brilliant. Cheers, lads.
Cheers. All the best.
Good luck.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.